Morning. Today's daf in Erchin is Yud Aleph. On the very bottom of Yud Amud Beis, second parak of Erchin. Various sort of topics throughout Shas, because the common theme that links all the Mishnayos together in this parak is the topic of ranges. We're talking about where various halachas have a minimum and maximum range. So we started with Erchin, where it has a minimum maximum range of a person making an obligation, a commitment, has to bring anywhere between 1 to 50 shkalim. And that was the first Mishnah of the Perek. But then from that point going forward, so then it's an assortment of other halachas. Mishnayos and Daf Ches, it's already now 3 days ago. Mishnayos and Daf Ches talks about Pesach. A woman wants to restart her cycle, and she wants to know whether or not she's a Nida, she's a Zava. Where exactly is she? So how many days must she abstain from any kind of discharge in order for her to resume her cycle? So that ranges anywhere between 7 to 17 days. The Mishnah talks about confinement for tzaras, anywhere from 1 week to 3 weeks. The Mishnah talks about establishing a year and putting together 12 lunar months. How many of them are chaser, how many of them are male? So it is a range of anywhere between 4 and 8. Not exactly sure what exactly that 8 means. Gemara spent the day talking about that. That was Daf Tes. Mishnah is also talking about the time between the baking of the Shei Lechem, the consumption of Shei Lechem, the baking of the Lechem upon him, the consumption of Lechem upon him. A baby's bris, even though the Torah says it's on the 8th day, it ranges anywhere between 8 and 12 days. That Mishnah, by the way, to me is such a riddle. I mean, I know the Pshat in the Mishnah. We said the Pshat in the Mishnah. But it's really amazing when you ask, what's the range of the bris milah? It's anywhere between 8 days and what? And you would think to yourself, like, how could there possibly be another number there? But anyway, it works out. The Mishnah works out. Bris Milah is anywhere between 8 to 12 days. And then the Mishnah on Daf Yud, which is what we tackled yesterday, is Mishnah's dealing with the number of instruments used in the Beis HaMikdash during the Avodah. So during the Avodah, and we're going to be a little more specific in the course of today's Daf, but during the Avodah, so there would be Tekiah Shofar, there would be the blowing of the Shofar. So we talked about the number of minimum blasts of the shofar versus the maximum number ranges anywhere from 21 to 48 blasts of the shofar on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. And then from there, we went on to a number of other discussions in terms of ranges, and we actually went into the choir, and we went into the instruments, and the Mishnah talked about the navel, anywhere between 2 to 6 nevalim. The chalil, the flute, which was played 12 days of the year because it coordinated with the same days that challah was being said. So the chalil, anywhere between 2 to 12 chalilim, and that was our Mishnah. And the Mishnah enumerated the days in which the chalil was said, and and what was behind the Mishnah is the idea that these days were unique and special. They were the days in which challah was said. Yesterday was the day discussing challah. We talked yesterday about Yamim Shagomrim Bahem Basahal, the days in which we complete Halo. In Eretz Yisrael it's 18 days, in Chutz Arutz it's 21 days. And a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of which days we do, which ways we don't, why in certain days do we not, even though they seem to qualify. Okay, so a lot of discussion in yesterday's daf regarding Halo. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We're on the very bottom of Yud Amud Beis, and the Gemara is continuing with the discussion of instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. There was an instrument called the shovel. Okay, I never heard of the shovel as an instrument, but that was the instrument. It looked like a shovel. Maybe it also functioned as a shovel. It's a little creative, meaning it's a funny way to start the daf today. We're talking about a shovel, which on one hand is also a shovel, on the other hand, could also double as an instrument as well. That's what it sounds like the Gemara is talking about. I know that sounds a little bit strange, but anyway. You see the Gemara on the very bottom of Yud Amud Beis. Amar Rav Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Magrefa, Isa ben Mikdash. There was a Magrefa in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi, if you take a look at the last Rashi on the Yamud, Sheba Gorfin es Deshen HaMizbeach. Oh, it was used as a shovel, the way Rashi describes it. V'hu kein kaf, it looks it had something of a spoon shape to it. Okay. You see the Tosfos on the bottom of the Yamud. Tosfos is not enthralled with this idea that we're having a shovel, which also doubles as a musical instrument. Okay, anyway. So, Asara Nekavim Hayuba. Now, this shovel, this musical instrument shovel, so it had 10 holes in it. Each hole was able to produce 10 different sounds. So 10 holes, each one producing 10 sounds, 10 times 10. That's 100 different sounds being produced by this instrument. The Gemara quotes a braisa describing also this magrefa. So he ama v'gavoa ama. So it was one ama by one ama v'kata yotzei emenu, and it was a handle coming out of it. Okay, so a description of some form of a shovel. V'asar nekav mahayuban. There were 10 holes there, same as what we described. But kol echad motzi mea minei zemer. According to the Braisa, each hole was able to produce 100 different sounds. 100 different sounds coming out of each hole, able to produce 100 different sounds. Nimseis kula mosia elef minei zemer. So that means that's 1,000 different sounds being able to produce. Amar av nachma yisav v'simancha masnisa guzma. Now, just in terms of a helpful mnemonic aid to remember, that the Braisa was a little bit greater in number than that of what we described earlier. Earlier it's not a Mishnah, it was a statement made by Shmuel, but how do I know that the Braisa is a larger number? So masnisa guzma, so the Braisa tends to be somewhat more exaggerative in terms. It's an interesting comment in of itself. Right, if you take a look at Rashi reminds us of the Gemara in Chulin that we did in the seventh perek, where there we talked about how sometimes when the Tanaim speak, on occasion, when the Tanaim speak, they speak with hyperbole. And so when you sing a brace and the brace is giving a bigger number, so I don't know necessarily over here if the Gemara means that this brace is speaking with hyperbole, but just as a good mnemonic, it's a good way to remember it, is that generally speaking, braces do that. Who was up there playing the instruments? So you remember back in yesterday's daf, and you remember the Mishnah was a machlokas, major machlokas between three tanaim. If you take a look back in yesterday's Mishnah, I'm just going to go over the three opinions. Avdei Kohanim, Ayu Devar Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says that those who were playing the instruments were the Avdei Kohanim. Seems to be Avdei Kohanim, who were serving the Kohanim. So Rabbi Yossi Amar Mishpachas Beis Pegarim Beis Sipre Me'am Ma'um Hayamasim Masim LeKohuna. So the second opinion of Rav Yossi is that they were special families. Not Kohanim, not Levim, families. But these families had yichus, had significant pedigree. And these are the families that generally married into the Kohanim families. And Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas Omer, Levim Hayu. And a third opinion in the Mishnah, that of Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas, is that they were Levim. So the range of positions in terms of who was playing the instruments on in the Beis HaMikdash during the Avodah, it only begs the question, what exactly is behind these machloksim? What exactly is at the issue over here? The Gemara discusses. So the Gemara now is going to propose that maybe this is the basis of their debate. The one that holds that they were avadim would argue the following, that in terms of, look, there has to be shira, there has to be song, and we haven't established that as of yet. But the Gemara is assuming that we know that, and over the course of today's daf, we will establish it, that there must be shira when you're bringing a karban. In fact, the Gemara in just a couple of minutes from now is going to be talking about how shira is ma'akev, meaning without the shira, the karban is going to be lacking in a certain nature to it. So so certainly shira is important. Now, shira is made up of two things. You got the choir, you have people singing, and you also have the band playing instruments. So now when discussing now this shira and which aspect of the shira is most critical, is it the peh or is it the kli? Is it the vocals or is it the instruments that are being played? And what the Gemara now is suggesting is this is a subject of the machlokas over here in terms of who's in the band. So according to the one who says that avadim hayu kasavir ikar shira bepeh. So if you say they're avdei kohuna, now avdei kohuna certainly are not in a position to do the avodah. They're avadim. They can't do the avodah. Oh, so then what you'll argue is that the main shira is bepeh, meaning they're not the ones who are singing. They're the ones playing the instruments. So the main shira is bepeh. So that's being done by the levim who are worthy to do so, who are fit to do so, and they're just the background musicians, and they're playing in the band. Ukli lebesume kalahu davide. And that's exactly the purpose of the instrument, to accompany and to sweeten the sound. But in terms of what is shira that is required min haTorah, so that's going to be bepeh. That's one possibility. And umanda amar levim hayu kasavik yashira bikli. And the Gemara says that if it's the levim that are playing the instrument, so then you can make the other argument, which is that there's a shira requirement, and the shira requirement manifests itself in terms of instruments. And so therefore I need the levim to play the instruments. So this is what the Gemara now is proposing as a way of understanding the machlokas. Now, this would have been a good way to explain the machlokas, but there's not two opinions in the Mishnah. There are three opinions in the Mishnah. And that third opinion, really the middle position in the Mishnah, now is nowhere on this map that we just laid out of what is the Nekudah Machlokas, what is the point of contention in the Mishnah, so where exactly is that middle position? And that's exactly the Gemara's question, Vitizbara. The Gemara says, is this make sense? Rabbi Yossi, Maika Savika, Savika Shir Repe, because this position of Rabbi Yossi, the middle position, remember Rabbi Yossi says, who's doing it? So distinguished families who are not Kohanim, not Leviim, their children marry the Kohanim, they're the ones who are playing the instruments. So what is that? So now, so if you hold ikashir bepeh, so you don't need distinguished families to play the instruments. Anybody could play the instruments, meaning even avadim. And ikasav ikashir bekli, now if you hold that the instruments is the critical aspect of the shira, so levim beina, so then you need levim. And despite the fact that these families are distinguished, but they are not qualified to play the instruments if you hold ikashir bekli. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's leave that suggestion, the whole suggestion, and let's now move to a different suggestion altogether. Maybe the issue over here is as follows. You're going to see people now ascending the duchen, some sort of platform, and you're going to see them now as part of the shira. They're the choir, they're the... the choir we need, the Gemara right now is assuming the choir for the Peh, you need Levium. So good. So the people who are singing, they're the Levium. That's for sure true. But now you have also people in the back who are playing instruments. And they're sending the Duchen to do so. And so what the Gemara now is going to suggest is the following. When I see a person getting up there, playing an instrument, what assumptions can I make about such an individual? Meaning, where there was some sort of background check, right? Mm-hmm. When you filled in your application... Mm-hmm. to play in the band, so you had to fill in some questionnaire. And basically, what was the questionnaire? I know I'm giving a modern picture of this, but it's basically what's happening here. So what were the questions that were asked in the questionnaire, and what are certain assumptions that are made in terms of the people that were allowed entrance to play the instruments in the Beis HaMikdash? La'olam kasavik yashir bepeh. So again, so in terms of who's singing, has to be the Levium. Because that's the Iker Shira. Now, v'hacha b'malam educhen liyuchsen l'masos kemiflegi. And the issue now over here is as follows, that if you get up to the duchen, if you're able to ascend this platform in order to play along, so what assumptions do we make regarding yichus and meiser? Manda amar avadim hayakas avay malam educhen liyuchsen v'lo l'maiseros. Now, if you say that it's avadim, now an eved is certainly not in a position where they're going to be given meiser. Now, it's true, by the way, that an eved kohen is allowed to eat truma because he's kinyan kaspo. Because he's part of the financial acquisition of a kohen. That part's true. But you're not going to give him trumas. You're not going to give him truma. In other words, he can only eat together with the kohen, but he's not going to be the one who is going to be the recipient. He's not a kohen. So if I subscribe to the idea that it's an eved kohen, so what does that mean? It means that we're not asking anything on the questionnaire. Which person can go up onto the duchen in order to play behind the levim? Anybody. And so therefore no assumptions can be made, not regarding his ability to receive trumas and maestros, and not regarding yichus as well. Meaning, we simply say, and we don't mean it in a demeaning fashion, he's just part of the band. But it doesn't mean anything regarding yichus and truma. Mandar levim hayu katsav ramalim meduchen bein liyuchs and bein lamasros. Now, if you say that they are levim, which is the third opinion of the Mishnah, so what you mean to say is that in order to go play in the band, in the Beis HaMikdash, so there's a vetting process, and you have to be vetted both in terms of your ability to collect meiser, and also in terms of yichus as well. And if you hold that the middle position, the Rabbi Yossi position, that they're distinguished families, that means that the only vetting that's done for the band is whether or not you have yichus. If you have yichus, so then you are allowed entrance, and you're able to ascend and play in the band. But in other words, but according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not a referendum on whether or not you can collect meiser, you cannot collect meiser. The only vetting is for your yichus. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting now, is really the machlokus over here. What exactly is the vetting process, and what are we looking in terms of the qualifications of getting up and playing in the band? No. The yichus discussion in the Gemara is mostly in the fourth parak of Kiddushin. The Gemara over there talks extensively about yichus. Tanu Rabbanan Ashir Ma'akev the Karban Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, now the question of how important shira is regarding a karban, meaning what we know for sure is that there is shira. That's been established. based on the Mishnah that we saw yesterday, based on the Gemara's discussion that we just had. And not only do we know that shir is important, the song is important, but it comes both in vocals and it comes also as part of instruments as well. A discussion, a debate that we just saw together in the Gemara, whether the Iker Shir is Beper, Iker Shir Bekli, a fundamental debate that here exists in the second parak of Erechin. Also, you'll see more of it in the fifth parak of Sukkah. In the meantime, Tanu Rabban, the Gemara now quotes the following brayso, Shir Ma'akev as a carbon, Divrei Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, so if you don't have shir, so it's Ma'akev as a carbon, it holds back the carbon. It is such an essential part of the carbon that without it, the carbon simply is not a qualified carbon. The Chachamim Omrim Eino Ma'akev, and the Chachamim say it's not Ma'akev. Meaning, of course, it's important. Of course, it is a part and parcel of the Avoda, but it's not essential. If I don't have shir, we don't have to redo the entire carbon. Now, my time at the Rav Meir, the Amar Krav, Ve'etnas, Levim, the Sunim, La'aron, Ovanav, Mitoch, B'nei Yisrael, L'chaper, Abnei Yisrael. So the Psukim in last week's Parsha's Baloscha, describing the Levim and what they are charged with, so they are there to help facilitate Kapara. Now, Ma Kapara, Ma Akevas, Afshir, Ma Akevas. Now, Kapara, when we talk about the Kapara of a carbon, we're talking about the sprinkling of the blood, because that is, regarding the carbon, the most critical part of a carbon, the sprinkling of the blood. So over here in this Parsha, it sounds like the Levim's job is just as critical. And in the absence of the Levim doing Shira and singing in accompanying of the carbon, so then the carbon has not been achieved. The kapara has not been achieved. Now, as far as the Chachamim is concerned, yeah, the Pasuk is making a connection between the Avoda and the Shira, but not to the point of essentiality. It doesn't mean that if I don't do Shira, the carbon now is going to be negated. It simply means it's directive in terms of when Shira should be said. Just like Avoda is done during the day, so too Shira is done during the day. But it doesn't speak to the essential nature of Shira. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Minayin Leikar Shira Min HaTorah. And the Gemara now wants to know, where exactly are we going to find this idea that Shira is coming in accompaniment with the Avoda? Where exactly is this clearly articulated in the Torah? So now, in the course of today's daf, we're going to come up with 10 sources. I counted. We're going to come up with 10 different sources in terms of where Shira is min HaTorah. So what that tells us is the following, is that there's no clear-cut pasuk that directs us to this idea that Shira is min HaTorah. There are numerous allusions, 10 in total. So that means, of course, that it is not absolutely clear-cut, but you'll have numerous indicators indicating this to be the case.
So how can one argue that it's Ma'akev, if you can't find it?
Right, all right. It's an excellent question, Danny. If I just may pile on, sorry for not being helpful, but as we're going to learn together, the Shir is sung with the Nesachim, meaning it's not just at what point during the Karban do we have the Shir, the Shira. By the way, Shira goes masculine, feminine. Right, it goes. It's one of those words that can go in either direction. And I'm sure for those who understand the grammar better, not me, unfortunately, but they understand when exactly it's be more. It'd be more appropriate to use the masculine versus the feminine. But anyway, Tosus points out over here. It's the second Tosus on the Amud. Shir came with the Nesachim, meaning it's not just during any specific part of the Karban, but I'm sorry, not during any random time of the Karban, but specifically during the Nesachim. The libations, when you're pouring the wine down the southwest corner of the top of the Mizbeach. Now, Tosus points out, what do we know about Nesachim? We know that Nesachim are important, but we also know, right, that if the Nesachim are not offered on the same day of the Karban, that would be okay. We also know that Nesachim can come a day later, 2 days later, 10 days later. So it's really hard to entertain, this is Tosus's point, it's really hard to entertain the idea that Shir is essential to the Karban when the Shir is done in conjunction with the Nesachim, and the Nesachim themselves are not absolutely need to be done the same day as the Karban itself. Okay, so it's more things to consider. I didn't help. I just created more of an issue. We're in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and here we are now. We're starting with our first source of where do we see that Iker Shir is min HaTorah. Shenamar, so the Gemara starts with the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, Veshereitz B'Shem Hashem Elokav. So you serve B'Shem Hashem, using the name of Hashem. So it's an unusual expression of the Torah, service with the name. What does that mean? So that's exactly Gemara's point. Ezu shir shebashem, havi omer zu shira. So it must be a reference to shira. Song is a reflection of using Shem Hashem as part of the service, because you're singing Shem Hashem. Now the Gemara says, now it could very well be that the pasuk is making reference to Kohanim giving a bracha to the Jewish people. In fact, it says that they're going to serve and they're going to be mevarich using Shem Hashem, meaning that's what the Kohanim do when they give bracha. So mechlal de brachas Kohanim lav sherusim. So the sharso ulevarich b'shmo mechlal de brachas Kohanim lav sherusim. So the Gemara over here deflects, and the Gemara suggests no, because that would give an indication that the birchas kohanim is not service, and of course we know that it is service. So the Gemara says that that it could very well be that the pasuk that we just referenced is not a reference to the singing, but rather it's a reference to duchening. The Gemara now is going to go on to another source. When you're doing the avoda, so you have to do so with simcha and tov levav. Ezu avoda shebesimcha uvetov levav haveomer zu shira. So it's a reference to shira. So the ema divrei Torah. Now the Gemara says, okay, but again, we are superimposing an idea into the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say shira. The pasuk simply says simcha vetov levav. Could be that it's a reference to limud haTorah. Right, it's a nice idea. In other words, while the avodah is being done, so someone's on the side learning Torah. In fact, the pasuk in Tehillim says that learning Torah is mesam chalev. It makes the person joyous. It makes them happy. So mesam chalev ikri tuv lo ikri. So the Gemara gives an answer, a challenging answer. Well, that's true, but we're looking for something that qualifies as both simcha and tuv levav, and it can't be Torah because Torah is not referred to as. It may be referred to as simcha, like we just learned together, but it's not referred to as tov. Now, that's, of course, a very challenging answer. The Torah is not considered tov. So Tosus is bothered by that. The Tosus quotes a couple of psukim where we find that Torah is referred to as tov. Va'aksiv lekach tov nasati lachem. Pasuk in Mishle, we're familiar. Another pasuk, tov li Torah's picha. So, okay, so there's a lot of, at least two psukim that describe Torah as being tov. So it's a challenging answer that's given by the Gemara. Tosus himself offers a couple suggestions in terms of what exactly the Gemara meant by that. See Tosfos for the third Tosfos for more of a discussion on that. The Ema Bikurim. So the Gemara says, okay, but it could be that this is a reference not to doing the Avoda, but maybe it's a reference to the bringing of the Bikurim. Dichtiv v'samachta b'chol atov. Maybe the Bikurim is where you need Shira. Tov ikre, tov levav lo ikre. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Bikurim are in fact referred to as Tov, but we're looking for Tov Levav. Tov Levav is a reference to the Avoda. Okay, that's what the Gemara suggests. Amar of Masminan Lebikurim Shetun Shira. Now, what we're going to do over here is we're going to take a little bit of a detour, a small detour. We're going to come back in a moment to the sourcing of where the Avoda requires Shira, Iker Shira Min HaTorah. But in the meantime, however, we mentioned Bikurim in the Gemara, so the Gemara now is going to take us on this detour of Bikurim also requires Shira. Now it's interesting, Bikurim clearly over here is not understood as classic Avoda, and it makes sense. Meaning, what is Bikurim? It's really Manas Kahuna, it's gifts to the Kohanim. So it happens to involve the Mizbeach, that part is true, and you take the basket and you put it on the Mizbeach, and then the Kohen is going to be taking it from you. So there is an Avoda element to it, but the truth of the matter is it's Manas Kahuna. But still, as we're going to learn together right now, Bikurim also requires Shira. So, Minanli Bikurim Shetun Shira, Asya Tov Tov Mehacha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we'll learn it now from Gzeira Shava. Meaning we've already established that the Avoda requires Shira, and we have the word Tov over there. So Bikurim then also uses the word Tov. So through Gzeira Shava, we know that Bikurim also requires Shira. Inni, the Gemara says, is that true? V'amara Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amrav Yonasan. Minan Shein Omrim Shira, Ela Al Hayayin. So the Gemara says, now Shira is said over wine. And this goes back to the point that I made just moments earlier, that the time of the Avoda that is most appropriate for Shira is during the Nesachim. Shenemar v'tomer lahem agefen hachadalti esti roshi ha-misamech elokim v'anashim. So the pasuk in Shoftim, it's a little bit animating how we're having the Geffen make the following statement. The grapevine's making the following statement. Okay, it's animation, meaning we're just simply We're imagining what would it say? And it would say that you think I should stop giving my grapes, which is Mesamech Elokim Vanashim. Because you know the grapes makes man happy and it makes God happy. And the obvious question, as everyone's now thinking, so okay, fine, so wine makes us happy. But that part we understand. How exactly is it making a Kadosh Baruch Hu happy? Because what's happening is that in accompanying the wine, so together with that goes Shira, and Shira, that brings joy. That brings joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mishkachala Kidni Rav Yosef, so the Gemara says, so we do find it, Pri Atam Mevi V'E Atam Mevi Mashkin. So the Gemara says, look, it's true that the Shira comes in accompaniment with wine. And it's also true that Shira comes in accompaniment with Bikurim. But those two points are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they complement each other. Because look, in terms of the Bikurim, so what are the Bikurim that are brought? So it's the seven fruit. Of the seven fruit, so one of them is wine. Grapes. Now, do I have to bring them as grapes or do I have to produce them as wine? So that's what we're learning together. So the Gemara quotes a Brice, a Rabbi Yossi, Pri Atamevi V'Atamevi Mashkin. So primarily what you should be doing is you should be bringing the grapes in grape form, in fruit form. However, Hevi Anavim V'Darkam Minayin Tamalamer Tavi. On the other hand, if I take the grapes and I turn them into wine, have I lost my opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim? The answer is no. Tavi. Bring it anyway. So you see that Bikurim can actually be brought as wine. So we are not actually making exclusive points, but rather they complement each other. The fact that Shira said over wine, the fact that Bikurim can be brought as wine, so they are complementary to one another. A little bit unclear, by the way, if the Gemara also means that all other fruits of Bikurim that are going to be brought, you're going to be saying Shira over them, or is it just the Bikurim of grapes / wine? That, unclear. Could be that once we have Shira over the wine, so it could be that we're going to be saying Shira over all the other Bikurim as well. Could very well be. Okay, that was a little bit of a detour about Shira on Bikurim. We are now going back to Shira on the Avoda. So again, the question that was asked by the Gemara is, Minayin Likra Shira Min HaTorah? How do I know that there is a idea of singing in accompaniment with the Avoda? So far we have offered two suggestions in the Gemara. V'sheres b'shem elokav, right? Serving with God's name, although the Gemara deflected that one. They could be talking about the Avoda. The second one, tachas v'shem lo'avadas v'shem elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav, serving Kadosh Baruch Hu with joy and with goodness. That's another reference to Shira. And so here we are now up to the third suggestion of the Gemara. Chizkia amar me'acha v'chananyahu sar ha-levi'im. So b'masa ki mevin hu. So he has a certain amount of understanding. Al tikre. Now in the pasuk we have the word yashir. Al tikre sounds like we have. No, I'm sorry. In the pasuk itself it says the word yasur with a samach. Al tikre yasur ela yashir. So what we're doing is a slight play on the word in which he is not going to be removing, but he's actually going to be singing. Okay, again, right, all these allusions are just allusions, meaning we're quoting a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Right? The question was, Minayin Likra Shira Min HaTorah? How do I know that there's an idea of Shira Min HaTorah? And now we're launching into Pesukim from Navi, so... Yeah, in other words, they're illusions. They're Ramazim.
Even that, the word has to be changed.
Yes, agreed. We are back to Chumash, we're back to Parshas Bamidbar. So it says that a certain number of the Levim are la'avod, avodas avoda. They are doing service for service. It's a strange pasuk. Hard to translate. So Ezebu avoda shetzrich avoda. What exactly does that mean? Avoda requires avoda. Aveyom is ushira. Meaning the shira is avoda accompanying avoda. So that's pshat in the pasuk. La'avod, avodas avoda. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Me'ach, we're up to the fifth source. Su zimros nu sof kinor im navel. So the pasuk in Tehillim, where you're going to be lifting up Zimra and Kinor Naim im Navel. Okay. Another pasuk from Yeshayahu giving an indication that they're going to be raising their voice. Seventh possibility, the Brisa brings it from the following. Now, as far as Kahas is concerned, they were not given, because their job, their responsibility was to take the clay HaMishkan and carry it on their shoulder. Now from here, we're going to get to the idea that there's an element of Shira. So the Gemara says, yes. Now if it's going on their shoulder, that means they're carrying it. So the word Yisau seems to be strenuous. Matam alam Yisau ain Yisau el alashan shira. Yisau means to lift and to elevate, and that is in reference to song. How do I know that? V'chein u'amr su'u zimra u'snu sof v'amr yisu kolam yironim. So for that, we have the other psukim that complement this idea that the verb Yisau to carry also means to carry. In English, we have the expression to carry a tune. Chananya ben Achi Reb Yoshua Amar. This is now going to be our eighth source. Mehacha Moshi Daber V'Lokim Yanenu B'Kol. This is by Mamad Har Sinai. So Moshe speaks. Of course, Baruch Hu is also in responsive. Now Al Iske Kol, and it means to say that Moshe is going to be involved in Kol. Moshe, of course, being a Levi, and so that means to say that he was involved in an aspect of Shira. Again, it's an allusion. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha V'Yike Echad LeMechatz Atzrim UleMishorim LaHashmia Kol Echad. Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim describing the Levim, who were blowing on the trumpets and singing to produce sound. Rav Yonasan Amar Mehacha, this is going to be our tenth and final source on this topic. Lo Yamusu Gamhim Gam Atem. They're not going to die, not them and not you. Ma Atem Ba'Avoda Mizbech Afhim Ba'Avoda Mizbech. And that means to say that both you and them, the you and them refers to the Kohanim and Levim. So you have a role in the Avoda, they too have a role in the Avoda. Now, Kohanim's role in the Avoda is very clear. They're doing the Avoda. What's the Levi's role in the Avoda? So the Gemara's assumption is it's sheer singing.
What about the carrying of the Mishkan?
That's while in transit. Now
that's not considered Avoda?
It is a form of Avoda. And not only that, but as we're going to see, they're also guarding as well, which is another form of Avoda. But the Gemara's assumption is that sheer as well. Again, it's an illusion.
None of these 10 is actually direct.
Correct. That's why they're 10.
If it was direct,
there'd be one. Right. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara brings down a brisa. V'lo yamusu gam heim gam atem. Atem b'shalahem v'heim b'shalachem. B'misa. Heim b'shalahem ina b'misa elam b'azara. The way Rashi understands it means as follows. If, let's say, for example, you have a Levi doing the avoda that a Kohen should be doing, so that is so wildly inappropriate, so the punishment for that kind of crossover would be Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And the same thing would be true in the other direction as well. Slightly challenging to understand, but if a Kohen were to do what Levi's avoda is, if a Kohen would get there and start singing, so that too is Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So in other words, in terms of any kind of crossover, of a Kohen doing the Avodas Levi, which is Shira, or a Levi doing the Avodas of Kohen, which is the actual Avoda. So for there, Misa. Even within the Levium, and this is now how Rashi understands Heim B'Shalahem, but even within the Levium, there are basically two functions of a Levi. Two basic job descriptions of a Levi. One is singing, being part of the choir. Two, Chatzeros, and Shoarim. And being the gatekeepers. So they're the ones who are guarding and are going to be part of the security task of the Beis HaMikdash. And so you are, as a Levi, going to be typecast as one of two possible job descriptions. One, to be a Mishorer, a singer, and the other one to be Mishorer, a gatekeeper. Right? Comically, I say, and I probably said this in the past as well, is that which one do you fit into? Well, let's try out your singing. And based on the trial run and the singing, so that will pretty much make the determination of which job you're going to fit into. Okay, according to this Braisa, if you have a Levi who was designated to be part of the choir and he does security task and he's watching the gates, so that also is inappropriate, just not as wildly inappropriate. There, it's Azara. It only is a lav in order to do that. Now, where exactly is this lav to be found? So Rashi himself admits he does not know. And if Rashi does not know, it goes without saying. I'm not gonna be able to cite a source. But anyway, so basically in this brisa, Kohanim encroaching on Levi work or Levi encroaching on Kohen work, Misa B'Dei Shamayim. If Levi assigned for one job encroaches on the other job of the Levium, so Azhara. Amar Abai Naktina Mishara Shashir Bishal Chaver Bemisa. Now Abai disagrees. Abai says that we have a tradition. Naktina means it's part of our Misora. The And Rashi points out that he is obviously disagreeing with the previous Braisa. But he says that if I have a Levi that is Mishorer, that he decides, you know what, I'm done with the choir. I want to do security. Or Bishel Chaver B'Misa. So he says that it is just as inappropriate and the punishment is Misa B'Dei Shemayim. She'ne'amar v'achonim lefnei ha'mishkan keidma lefnei o'a mo'ed. V'azara karev yumas. So the Zar now literally translates as a non-Kohen who gets close, so yumas is going to be put to death. So my Zar Ilem is our Mamashak Siv Chadazimna. Now we already know, we already have Psukim that tells us that when Yisraelim are going to be doing the Avoda, so that's subject to the Misa penalty. I love Zar Da'osa Avoda. So when we say Zar, we just simply mean you're a stranger to this Avoda. Meaning if you were not assigned for this Avoda, and even within Levium, if you are not assigned to be part of the choir and you decide, enough with the security, I like singing, I want to be part of the choir. Or if you were assigned to be part of the choir and you decide, you know what, I'd like to be security task. So that is Misa B'Dei Shemayim, according to Abaye.
Did Levi Mishmar by any chance?
How were they divided? I don't have any source.
Was it like a one set of Levi, were there all the time, or did they rotate?
It's an excellent question. I don't know. I can't think of a source. Mitzvah, the Gemara challenges with a Braisa. Misharer Shashi'er. A singer who decides that he's going to be watching the gates. O Mishoer Shashorer. Or a gatekeeper who decides that he wants to be part of the band. Einan B'Misa Ela Bazara. So in this Braisa, it's a lav. It's not Misa B'Dei Shemayim. I understand, by the way, that we are not debating whether or not it's wrong. It is. It's just a question of what are the ramifications. Tanaihi, the Gemara points out that this is subject to a machlokas. Tanaim, the time we learned in the Braisa, Maisa B'Rabbi Yeshua, B'Rabbi Chananya. Shehalach l'sayeh b'hagafas delasos itzol Rav Yochim ben Gud Gadol. So there was a, called Matana, in other words, it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so by definition, a Tana. So the so what he was doing is that he decided to help close the doors. So Amar lo, so Rav Yochim ben Gud Gadol says to Menichas, Zor l'acharecha sh'ata mina mesha'arim, v'lo mina mesha'arim. So Rav Yochim ben Gud Gadol was, to say the least, reactive. What are you doing? You're a member of the choir. You are not a gatekeeper. Please stop helping me close the gate. You go back to the band. So my la b'hakamiflagi. Now, obviously, the Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Chananya, who was helping with the closing of the gate. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that he was a bardas. He knew what he was talking about, and it assumed that he had a position that justified what he was doing. And the Gemara now is suggesting my lava hakemiflik the marsav ramisa hi v'gazruba rabbanan umarsav azhari hi v'lo gazruba. So the Gemara says that what seems to be at odds over here is the severity of encroaching on the other job. If the severity is subject to misa b'dei shamayim, so then you can't even be an assistant. If the severity is only a lav, so what the Gemara is assuming, and it's a funny assumption, is that okay, it's only a lav. Okay, so fine. So then I'm not actually doing it. I'm just providing assistance. The Gemara says not necessarily. The Kuleyama Azarihi. The Gemara says that we could suggest over here that everyone is in agreement that it is a lav. Umar Savra Misaye Gazrubei Rabbanan, Umar Savra Lo Gazrubei Rabbanan. And over here, what's at issue over here is that this Levi, who was not a gatekeeper, so he was only doing an assistance. He was only being misayeya. So did the Chachamim make such a gezerah? Meaning he wasn't actively doing the task on his own, but just simply providing assistance. And the only question becomes whether assistance in of itself is something that the Chachamim made any kind of decree against. Vay Rabbi Abin Olas the David Sibar Tunashira Oena Tunashira. Okay. A carbon chova, an obligatory carbon, for sure is going to require shira. The Gemara starts off with that assumption, that is a given. The Gemara now wants to know, what about voluntary karbanos? And voluntary karbanos, we mean by that voluntary karbanos, even if they're communal voluntary karbanos. Now, communal voluntary karbanos, that seems to be a little bit of a confusion. Well, how can they be communal and voluntary? So as we know, we've discussed this numerous times. So there were pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash where if there was any kind of overage, anybody had any kind of surplus, any excess of any karbanos, so what they would do is they would put it into the pushka. Those pushkas were then collected, the monies were collected, and this is what's called Ketz HaMizbeach. at a slow time in the year in the Beis HaMikdash, when there was not a lot of activity in the on the Mizbeach. You had the Tamei Shel Shachar, you had the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim, but that's it on a given day. And there was no other, there were no other Karbanos that were brought, and it just that kind of inactivity, I guess, was you felt it, and so therefore they drew from the surplus, and they used it now for Ketz HaMizbeach. So these are, So they're not obligatory Karbanos, that's for sure. It's interesting, the Gemara here describes them as communal. Communal, I guess, in the sense, and it's not communal meaning it's not coming from communal money, but communal, I guess we could say from the sense of, is that this is not representing any one given person.
Why not communal money? If it's put in the push guy, it's not going to have communal money.
I mean, generally speaking, when we talk about communal money, we're talking about the machzis ha-shekel. Uh-huh. And that is more classically referred to as communal money. Okay, but anyway. By Rabbi Avin Olos and Nidva Sibar Tumina Shira Oina Tumina Shira, and so the question now becomes, so does this require Shira? So Olo Sechem Amar Rachmana, so again, the psukim that speak about the playing of song and instruments is spoken about in Parshas Baloscha. We just covered it last week. So it says Olo Sechem Achas Olos Chovav Achas Olos Nidava. So it means your karbanos. So one possible interpretation could mean all your karbanos, whether they are obligatory or voluntary. Or maybe no. Olosechem means that it has to be representative of all the Jewish people. And that means to say that the obligatory karbanos are representative of all the Jewish people because they are being drawn from the machatzis ha-shekel, which is coming from all the Jewish people. Over here we're talking about various donations made by people who had surplus. But it's not representative of all the Jewish people. So Tashma, Vayom Chizkiyahu Alos HaOla, Uveitz Echel Alos HaHechel Shir Hashem, VaHachatzotzos HaYidei Kli, David Melech Yisrael. So now we're turning to our attention an incident regarding Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, right, good king. Okay, sorry for being so binary, right, good king, bad king. But Chizkiyahu was a good king. Okay, we can say that definitively. Surrounded by not such good kings, meaning his father, his son, not good, but he himself was a good king. And what happened was is that before his time, the Beis HaMikdash came into terrible disrepair. And so what he did is he reopened the Beis HaMikdash. And in this opening ceremony, which we're given a description from Divrei HaYamim, so he is basically now wondering, so do we sing Shir? Now, in the pasuk itself that I just read, it's not super clear that he's asking a question. Rashi says it, Vayomer Chizkiyahu, D'mash Mashaya Nimlach. Maybe the word Vayomer, like a somewhat more of a softer language, meaning he didn't give instruction, that would be Vayidaber or Vayitzaver, but Vayomer. Okay, however we know it, but it's assumed in the Gemara he was asking. So we're going to be offering an Ola, and are we going to be singing Shir? Are we going to be blowing on the shofar, etc., etc.? So, Hai Shir Amaya Vidatei, Lema Dolos Chovala Maliyim Luche. So the Gemara says, now, if we're talking about a standard obligatory karban, so there's nothing to ask. We all know the answer. In other words, Shira accompanies it. That's obvious. El Alav de Olas Nadava. So it must be that this was some sort of voluntary offering, and as such, that's why he was asking the question. That's what the Gemara is proposing in terms of what happened over there with Chizkiyahu, that he asked the question. So the Gemara over here offers a couple of suggestions. Amar of Yosef Lo, Olas Rosh Chodesh Hava. So the Gemara says, no, you know what it was? It was the Olav Rosh Chodesh. V'kami bailahu mihukva Rosh Chodesh bizmano delikar v'lo. And the question that the Chizkiyahu HaMelech was asking was, are we sure today's Rosh Chodesh? Meaning, of course, Rosh Chodesh can come one of two possible days. And so in order to bring the carbon musaf Rosh Chodesh, so that means to say that you have to know that today is Rosh Chodesh, and that was his possible question. So Amar Le'Abayim Mimasas Amasachi V'Aksiv. Now the Gemara says that's a wonderful pshat, but if you just read on in the Psukim, that's almost an impossible pshat. Because the Pasuk says, when was this inauguration of Chizkiyahu HaMelech? So the B'Yom Shisha Asar L'Chodesh HaRishon. So it was on the 16th day of the month. So now it's going to be really difficult to say that he was asking whether it's Rosh Chodesh when we're more than halfway through the month. Okay, that's difficult. But Yom Chizkiyahu la'alos ola la'mizbech, etc., etc. So Ella Amar Rami Bereid Rab Yeba Kevesh Abba Im HaOmer Kami Bailahu. So the so what was happening? So again, so it's the 16th day of the month. It's a month. It's Nisan. We know what's happening that day. It's that's the second day of Pesach. That's the Karban Omer that's being brought. The Karban Omer that's being brought also has an animal accompanying it. And so mi kaver rosh chodesh bezmano delikurev alo. And what he was asking is the following. Look, today is the 16th day of Nisan. There are specific karbanos brought for today. Obviously, they're obligatory karbanos. What Chizkiah was asking was, did we get 2 weeks ago, just over 2 weeks ago, did we get Rosh Chodesh right? Meaning, are we supposed to be offering it today?
When did that question?
And so the Gemara now is going to ask the obvious question. Okay, so Chizkiah is asking that question, which in of itself would have been appropriate. But it also would have been just as appropriate to say, you know what? Karban Pesach on the 14th, Matzah on the 15th. Like, in other words, by the 16th already, there are important days of the month of Nisan in which you need to know, are we celebrating the right day? So El Amar Ravashi, so the Gemara says, okay, so that second attempt didn't go over so well. The Gemara now is up to a third attempt. So the Gemara says that what he was asking was a formality. In other words, like it's like the Shliach Tzibur, who everybody knows he's going to be the Shliach Tzibur, but as like a courtesy, as a formality. So what he's going to do is he's going to basically say, yeah, now, should I go? Yeah? Which, meaning it's just a courtesy that that you extend as just a sign of modesty, a sign of I respect the congregation. And that could be what Chizkiah HaMelech was doing. He wasn't asking a question. It was just simply a formality. So the Gemara says, okay, and you know what? As long as we're here, as long as we're saying this pshat, that he wasn't really asking a question, it could be that it's an obligatory karban. In other words, what we originally proposed. He's asking, he's not asking. He's just, it's a courtesy that he's extending.
So it's not a
proof. Right. So the Gemara is in Tanis. It's right. We're saying this Gemara right by Parsha Shlach. Rather amazing. So the Zchus comes on a day of Zchus and Chova comes on a day of Chova. Amar Kishachar by Sarishan also Ayom Tisha B'Av Hayam. So on that very day, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So it was the ninth day of Av. Umotzei Shabbos Haya, it was a Motzei Shabbos. Umotzei Shviyas Haya was the post sabbatical year. Umishmatosh Ol Yariv Hayasa. We know the Kohanim are broken up into 24 Mishmaros. It happens to be the Mishmar of that day, of that week, belonged to Yehoyariv, one of the 24 families. Vaikohanim Levim Omdim Al Duchnam Va'omrim Shira. And the Kohanim and the Levim were there on the Duchan, and they were saying Shira Mashira Amru, Vayashav Alehem Esonam V'rasam Yatzmi Seim. Now they're saying the 94th parak of Tehillim. Now you're probably wondering that we just learned moments earlier that this was Motzei Shabbos, otherwise known as Sunday. This is not the Shir Shal Yom of Sunday, it's the Shir Shal Yom of Wednesday, what we call Wednesday, fourth day of the week. Anyway, V'lo speak Olamar Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu Ad Shebo'u Oivim V'chivshum. So, and as they get to the words, and before they even get to finish the Pasuk of Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cut us down. So in comes the enemies and conquered. So in other words, basically you have this picture of the Levim knowing about the impending doom, and so therefore they're saying these psukim that are appropriate for the destruction. V'chei mishniya, and all these things coordinate day, date, day of week, mishmar of Yehoyariv. All these things coordinate with the second, with the destruction of the second base of Mikdash as well. Now, hi shira maya vidate. Now, what are they doing saying shira? Ilei meda olas chova mihavya b'yudzayim b'tamuz batal atamid. So the Gemara says we can't be talking about obligatory karbanos, because consider that we know the time frame in which, when did the tamid stop being offered? Now it's to Shiva Sar B'Tamuz on the 17th day of Tamuz. Now, so at 17th day of Tamuz already, the tamid already stopped 3 weeks prior to Tisha B'Av. Obviously, we know this. We have a psalm commemorating Yudzayim B'Tamuz, Shivasa B'Tamuz. So there was no tamid, there was no chova karban. Elav d'olos nedava. So the Gemara says it must be an olos nedava. The Gemara says I don't understand. V'tizbra. Ma'ishan d'olos chova d'lo havei, ma'ishan d'olos nedava d'havei. Well, if they didn't have obligatory karbanos, so how could they have voluntary karbanos? Halakasha, the Gemara says, that doesn't bother me. Ben Bakar, Ikre Ba'amo, Hud Isramya Lahu. So the Gemara says, that really doesn't bother me. In other words, they just simply got their hands on an animal. They didn't have the constant supply of daily karbanos, but on occasion they got themselves an animal anytime between Shiva Sabatamas and Tisha B'Av. Amarava Vitem Ravashi Vitizbra Shira Diyume Lashem Arts Malov Yeshiva Lem Esonam Vishir Dar Babi Shabbos Hu. The Gemara now asked a question which I foreshadowed just a couple minutes earlier. What are they doing saying the 94th parak of Tehillim? That's not appropriate for Sunday. That's Wednesday Shir. Ela Alya Ba'almahu Danafalu Bepume. So the Gemara says it is a kina. It's a dirge that they were singing. Meaning it is the Shira for the fourth day of the week. It also serves as, it's very morose. It's depressing. And so that is a, they were saying it on Sunday, not as Shir Shol Yom, but rather they were saying it as a kina. Vaha umdim al duchnan ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, but they were on the duchen. They were on the platform, which is generally where Shira is being sung. Kidresh Lakish Damar, Omer Shalom al Karban. So the Gemara says that, fine, in other words, but still it was not said over the Karban. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then why not just simply do it over voluntary karbanos as well? So nafik min echorva, the Gemara says, well, no, because we don't want people to get into the habit of thinking that you can or you cannot sing the Shira over a nedava karban, and you can and cannot sing the Shira over a chova karban. Meaning a clear differentiation needs to be made to so people know that for a chova karban, you sing and you have to sing. And for a nedava karban, you don't have to sing, and therefore you shouldn't sing. So at this point in time, the Gemara is somewhere in between. The question still stands. For an olas nedava, for a nidvas sibor, for a communal voluntary offering, is there shir, yes or no? And the Gemara now has still vacillated back and forth, bringing no definitive proof. My havi Allah, the Gemara now wants to know, tashma didni Rav Mari, b'reid Rav Kana, alo sechem v'alziv cheshamaychem ha'ola kodesh kadashim ha'shlamim. Kodesh kadashim ha'shlamim kavu lahem zman af ola kavu lahem zman. And so the Gemara quotes a brisa at the tail end, coming to a very clear conclusion, at least according to this brisa, which the Gemara seems to suggest is the accepted viewpoint, which is that it has to be a karban which is kavu zman, otherwise known as an obligatory karban. Not something that comes voluntarily, that can come at any time that there is they deem in doing so, but rather it must come at a specific time. So for that, it has to be a chova; it cannot be a nedava in which shira is going to be said.